Good morning and welcome everybody to Leading Off with True Blue LA. This is
how do you know they're listening in the morning?
You know what? That's a good point. Because we command it. We demand that this episode be listened to.
So if you're listening to this and it's after like 11:30, you just
stop. Press pause right
Wait,
now.
Wait, no, we want listens. Listens are good.
Yeah, you know what? Turn your volume all the way down, but keep it playing. And cycle through and then go back
just
to
put it on put it on repeat for 24 hours.
Keep hitting refresh somehow, even though that's not how anyone listens to it. But yeah, so this is our Dodgers Rewind segment. And today we are going to talk about someone who was born James Carlisle Smith, but he's commonly known as Red. And you'll never guess why his name was Red Smith.
No, I won't. It's impossible. Did he play for the Reds? Hair. Oh, nope. That makes more sense.
That would be great if his name was Redleg Smith, like back then. So Red Smith, so the reason, sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. Sometimes it's, hey, that baseball card looks cool. And then, or something like that. But this time, because the Dodgers are playing the Braves, later this week, you might've heard about it. Freddie Freeman might go back to some team he used to play for. So I was looking at among the players who only played for Dodgers and Braves, one of the cool tools on Baseball Reference is the multi-team player search. I use it all the time to figure out the gauntlet for the week in review post for the next week's schedule. I don't always limit it to just players who played for only those teams, but you know, sometimes just to narrow it down a little bit or whatever. But that's what I was looking for. I just to see who came up. But anyway, only two players
played, is so wild to me.
Yeah, played 100 games with each team and didn't play for anybody else.
Two franchises that have been around forever.
Yeah.
And there's only two.
There's been a lot. There was a lot
for
of players
now,
who...
Oh, Freddie Freeman right. going to retire at Dodgers.
So. Oh, actually, like by next month at some point, like sometime in July, he's going to probably pass the 100-game point. So he'll get there too. But the other one, Gus Felix, was an outfielder in the 1920s, which means he played with longtime trivia question answer Zach Wheat in the outfield. But another player who played with Zach Wheat is Red Smith. He was a third baseman. So he was the, according to Baseball Reference, Red Smith was the first player from Auburn to make the majors. And back then, Auburn, when he was there, was called Alabama Polytechnic University. So he was a third baseman with Nashville in the Southern League in 1911 in the minors. Now, back then, the minors were unaffiliated and independent. So it wasn't like he was a certain team's, you know, farmhand or whatever. He was just in the minors, and then teams would look down at the minors and be like, let's see who we can get or whatever. But so he hits .316 that year. He's vying for the batting title, like, during the second half of the season. He ends up hitting .316. Del Pratt on Montgomery also hit .316, but Del Pratt actually won because if you take it out, one more decimal point, Red Smith hit .3157. Del Pratt hit .3163. So he won the Southern League batting title. But Red Smith was impressive enough to where the Dodgers they bought his contract from Nashville in September 1911, and then they just inserted him at third base, and he started 28 of the last 32 games. Now, that team wasn't going anywhere, so maybe it was more of a looking-for-the-future type thing. The next year, he hit .286 with 28 doubles. Keep in mind, this is still dead ball era, and he was a good guy who like got on base. He had .362 on base that year. His best season with the Dodgers was the next year, 1913. He hit .296. His on-base was .358. He had a .441 slugging. I think, I don't have this part in front of me. I think he was seventh in the league in slugging that year, to give you an idea of where the league was at .441. 40 doubles, 10 triples, 6 homers that year. He's the first Dodger ever to hit 40 doubles in a season, and I'm sure that fact will come up shortly. I've never seen a Saber bio. Saber bio, I believe, within the last week or so, They just completed their 6,000th bio on the site, and it's a wonderful resource of knowledge and finding out about old players. The Saber bio for Red Smith was written by Charles Faber. I don't remember ever seeing a Saber bio opening like this, but this is the verbatim first sentence of the Saber bio. A mediocre fielder at third base. So first of all, I'm cutting in here. First of all, right off the bat, you're just like, oh no. But that's like the first line of an obituary. Who was it that died recently that had like a weird? Oh, it was Ray Liotta. I forget if it was Variety or something else that had like a. It was like Goodfellas and some rando movie that barely anyone's ever heard of as the second one in the headline. Like Ray Liotta, Goodfellas, and blah 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 star dies at whatever. I remember being shocked by that. Anyway, back to the biography. A mediocre fielder at third base, Red Smith was a good enough hitter to hold down third base for the Brooklyn Dodgers until he clashed with his new manager, Wilbert Robinson. We'll get to that also in a second. I was looking at the 1913 team. So they had four above average hitters if you're going by OPS plus. There was a few other hitters who were like sort of hovering around average, maybe a little worse. But their third through sixth hitters were really good that year. Number three hitter was Casey Stengel, who was only age 22. He was a center fielder. Aforementioned Zach Wheat, he was the cleanup guy, age 25 in left. Jake Daubert, he was a former MVP, actually the previous year MVP. He was only 29. He was playing first base. He batted fifth. And then Red Smith, who was only 23 that year, batted sixth. Manager Bill Dolan was fired after the end of that season. This was the 10th straight losing season for Brooklyn. Four of those were under Dolan. So they ended up hiring Wilbert Robinson to manage. He was a longtime catcher for 17 years, almost all of them for the Baltimore Orioles in both the American Association, then the National League, then the American League, just based on how the leagues were sort of moving around back then. I think the American League version, I don't remember, I think that's who became the Yankees at the end. Anyway, he was age 50, now hired as the manager. He was like about a decade after his playing days. Now, Jake Daubert, the aforementioned former MVP who was first baseman, was also a candidate for the manager. Back to the Saber bio for a second. There were reasons why Robinson didn't like him. This is, again, from the Saber bio. The redhead had threatened to jump to the Federal League and had met with representatives of the league. He was also considered one of a clique of players who were striving to have Robinson replaced as manager by Daubert. Robbie, what they called Wilbert Robinson, regarded Smith as a troublemaker and resolved to get rid of him, and he did just that. In August 2014, this is Robinson's first year as manager, they just sold Red Smith to the Braves. Now, he had started 89 of 90, the first 92 games at third base. He was only hitting .245. It was like his worst year so far in this little stretch. He had a 97 OPS plus, not that anyone knew what that was or cared back then. So he wasn't like all bad, but it was interesting because he goes to a Braves team. That team would later be called the Miracle Braves because of what they did. So earlier in that season, they were 26-40 at one point on July 4th. They were 15 games back. They were in eighth place in an eight-team American League or National League, excuse me. They were in last place as late as July 18th. So again, eighth place in an eight-team league. After that 26-40 start, they finished 68-19 over their last 87 games, including 44-13 after Smith joined the team. That's Trey Turner, Max Scherzer stuff from last year with the Dodgers, basically. That's how good they were playing. Smith was great for his part down the stretch. He hit .314, .401, .449, 17 doubles in 60 games. His OPS plus was .148. Again, everyone clamoring about how good his OPS plus was back in the papers in those days. however, a doubleheader on the last day of the regular season in the first game, I think it was sliding into second base, he broke his leg. So he didn't get to play in the World Series. But that year, so they go in. The Braves were in Boston back then, by the way. they are before we get to the World Series. So when I was looking up the game logs for the Braves that year, one of the cool things that Baseball Reference has done recently in you know certain years is adding like if a game gets rained out or a future game gets made up from an earlier rainout, it'll note it in the schedule, like on the side, like, you know, make up from April 10th rain or whatever. And sometimes there's like the 1992 Dodgers, for instance, if you go, it'll be like make up from April 29th, civil unrest, you know, because they had the doubleheaders later in the year because of the riots. But it, so for the 1914 games, I forget exactly what it said, but it was like moved due to bigger facilities or something. They ended up playing at Fenway Park down the stretch because they were getting so popular and about to win the pennant that they played in the bigger stadium. But anyway, they were still heavy, heavy underdogs in the World Series. So you had the Philadelphia A's, who they won the World Series in 1910, 1911, and 1913. I'm trying to think. I might be conflating this, and I don't know if it was specifically in 1914. But around that time, that was like their... The A's had like two dynasty periods, quote-unquote dynasties, under Connie Mack. It was this, and then the like 29 to 31 team, where they just had a just incredible massive talent, and they made a bunch of World Series. But I believe this was the period where I think they were called like the $100,000 infield or something, where like it was like four relatively expensive for the time players.
Wow, cheap.
And they were all really good. Right, exactly. And so, but anyway, they were heavily favored, and then the Braves swept them in four games. So that they truly were the Miracle Braves, and then they didn't make the playoffs again for a long time after that. Smith played five more years with Boston. He had 124 OPS plus in his years with the Braves. He was top 10 in batting average, on base percentage, OPS and OPS plus in 1917 and 1918. Back to the lead of the Sabre bio, sort of enforcing that point. He led all third basemen in errors from 1915 to 1918, averaging 33 per year. Now, this was also a time where third base was considered like a not fielding first is probably too strong, but it was like almost akin to shortstop in terms of importance, like how mm-hmm. it was treated. And he was not good at it, like fielding wise, but he was a good hitter. So in his nine major league seasons, he hit 278 with a 353 on base, a 377 slugging, 119 OPS plus. That's really good. 208 doubles, 49 triples, 27 homers, and 117 steals. Again, dead ball era. Really good hitter. After the 1919 season, this is always another thing that like always cracks me up about like players back then, how just different the game is, like because you know they weren't paid anything, so they had to like keep playing or do something. Like they always worked in the off season, that kind of thing. But so after the 1919 season, he goes on waivers to the Yankees, and then I think the same off season he's traded to the Senators. But he never made the majors again, but he played nine more years in the minors. Like, his 20s were in the majors, and then his 30s were in the minors. Like, it's just wild. But then he was also a manager, at least in a couple cases, only part of the season, during on some of those minor league teams he played for three different times. In his post-playing days, I love this little anecdote, Smith found his way to Atlanta, where he lived with his wife, and I guess also lived in Marietta for part of that. But he was the city. He was a city tax investigator for the city for 27 years, and then he got to see the Braves come home to Atlanta when they moved there in 1966, and he got to see them play for one season. Unfortunately, though, he did die at the end in I think in October of 66. He was age 76. But yeah, that's pretty cool. I was telling you before, my favorite sort of Dodgers Rewind is someone I've never heard of before, so right. I go into it like, oh, that's cool, like I didn't know about this. And yeah, I didn't know about the 40 doubles thing, which was cool. So Red Smith, he led the National League with 40 doubles in 1913. He's one of seven Dodgers to lead the NL in doubles, and he's one of only that's all you had to say. That was your trivia. It was this good. No, he's one of only four to lead the league by himself. How many of the other six doubles leaders, National League doubles leaders, can Jacob name?
All right. We'll play with the three strikes rule in effect. Zach Wheat.
So the fun part about this is it's not, I don't have a heavily curated list. So I'm looking, but no, he's not one of them.
Finally has let me down. All right. Corey Seager.
Corey Seager tied, Anthony Rendon in 2019.
So that doesn't count?
No, he does. He's one of the seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean Green.
Sean Green did not. I'm looking. So his two, he has the LA Dodger record with 49 doubles. And I don't remember if that was 02 or 03. But Bobby Abreu had 50 doubles in 02 and Pujols had 51 in 03.
What a jerk. Jerks all around. Uh-oh. I'm down to a final guess. Campy.
No. I don't know. I said that so dismissively.
how would you believe?
It was like, I know he hit home runs, but like it's one of those like, if a home run didn't go out, was he really beating it out for doubles? Okay. In fairness, as a 23-year-old, at least for the known stats, Campanella led the Negro National League with 16 doubles in only 52 games in 1945. But the most doubles he hit with Brooklyn was 33, and he only hit more than 22 one other time with the Dodgers. So,
well,
hit a lot of home runs though.
That he did. All right, wait, what do you got?
Okay, those are my three strikes. I'm giving you one hint for the other LA person because that's the only one I think you're going to get. Is this person hit for the cycle?
This happens. This is along with a few other hints you give me. Where like I feel like I just need to dedicate this.
Yeah.
I forget. So I'm gonna say Babe Herman, even though that's not the LA Dodger.
So funny. It's funny you mentioned that, and I'll get to why in a second. Is mostly because the Babe Herman was teammates with one of the other people who's on this list now. I misspoke earlier because I said Sean Green has he has the most home runs in a season with that, but he also was a doubles guy. He did have 49 doubles. Okay, I was right. So Sean Green has the overall Dodger record with 49 home runs and also the LA Dodger record, but he also has the LA Dodger record for doubles with 49. Johnny Frederick was a 1929. He did this as a rookie. Hit 52 doubles for Brooklyn. He's the only one with more doubles than Sean Green. He won outright in 1929. The other person I was thinking of who might have had, who had the LA Dodger double record before Sean Green was Wes Parker in 1970.
Oh, yep.
That when he hit for the cycle.
Yep, yep, yep.
The other Brooklyn leaders are Pete Reiser with 39 doubles in 1941, tied with Johnny Mize. And then Red Smith, 1913, the aforementioned 40. And then you go back to, I can't believe you didn't think about the 1901 Dodgers. Tom Daley had 38 doubles in 1901, tied with Ed Delahunty. And then the immortal Mike Griffin in the Dodgers' second year in the National League, 1891, hit 36 doubles and led the National League. Yeah, only seven people have led in doubles. That's crazy.
I'm trying to look up because Babe Herman did hit 48 doubles in 1930.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to look up who beat him. I'm upset.
You got to remember, like, this was like 1930, I believe, is the most offensive friendly season in Major League history. And, like, so that some of the numbers there are, like, wild. but, yeah, so, like, yeah, pretty cool. But, yeah, that's Red Smith. And that is our leading off with True Blue LA today. Enjoy Dodgers Braves this coming weekend. And, you know, I believe, you know, you're going to have two doubles guys in Matt Olson and Freddie Freeman, who, you know, Freddie Freeman could potentially join Red Smith as the Dodgers doubles leaders if he sort of continues his hot pace. But Matt Olson, his replacement in Atlanta, is doing his best to sort of not make that happen, but it should be fun weekend, and think about Red Smith while you're watching this weekend. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.